Rabbi Summers, in his Hakdama to the keynotes this morning, mentioned that a key word to think about was the word BlackBerry, and the tumult and lack of menuchas hanefesh that comes into the mind of a person who owns one of those. Somebody said recently, and this I just wanted to add on, maybe Rabbi Summers can use this because it's very much in line with what he was getting at. Somebody once termed our generation as one in which there is connection but no communication, information but no knowledge. So I think that with all the technological advances, there are certain negatives that come along with it, unfortunately, as well. And for Rabbi Summers' point was well taken. Tzad Sheni, on the other hand, I do have a BlackBerry. And unfortunately, I did step out, you know, to check it during the break between the keynotes. And unfortunately, I saw that I received an email that there was a colleague of mine. His name was Avraham Fishman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was a menahel of the Cheder in Cleveland a few years ago, and probably for the past close to 10 years, I believe, has been the menahel of the Beis Yehuda Yeshiva in Detroit. He was a Tells Talmud, and of my chabura, you know, Echad Mina Chabura, one of our group. And he unfortunately was nifter just today at the age of 59. And that's a loss to the Klal Yisrael. I remember him for two particular things. One was that I really got to know him a few years ago when I took a trip to Eastern Europe. If you'll remember, I spoke about that trip when I had the privilege of speaking here. And he was with us on that group. And he told us that when he was the menahel of the Cheder in Cleveland, so he had brought the curriculum of the Cheder that he had devised, he brought the curriculum to the Stipler in Bnei Brak. And when he presented the curriculum to the Stipler, so the Stipler told him three things. I mention the story because it's indicative of the type of person that he was, that if he had a curriculum, he brought it to the Gadol Hador to see what he thought of the curriculum. And the Stipler told him three things which are worthy of mentioning. The first thing the Stipler told him was, why are you bringing it to me? I'm not a mechanech. He goes, you should bring it to people who are involved in chinuch. That was number one. The second thing he told him was that Bnei Brak is not Cleveland. And the third thing he told him was, just as it is dangerous to teach children too little, it is also sometimes dangerous to teach them too much. That was the Stipler's answer. The other thing I remember Rabbi Fishman for, a picture in my mind, is that when we were in Vilna, so on Shabbos afternoon, we took a guided tour of Vilna, and we went by the home of Reb Chaim Ozer Grzynski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Gadol Hador. It was nifter in 1940. And when we went to the home, the building that was the housed the apartment of Reb Chaim Ozer, so I remember Rabbi Fishman going to the walls of that home and kissing the walls, like it was the Kotel. This was the home of Reb Chaim Ozer. It made a roshim. As well as a picture that I have of him and Mrs. Krause's brother, Rabbi Shlomo Mendel, opening up the doors to the Tells Beis Medrash, which still stands in Tells. When we went in, had the privilege of walking in that building and davening there. It's a loss to the Klal Yisrael, and I felt it was worthy to mention. Going back many more years, the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, during one of his trips to the yeshiva in Yerushalayim, I had asked Rabbi Yebadal L'Chaim, Rabbi Luban, a question because I needed 2 minutes, I had a short question that I needed to ask the Rosh Yeshiva. And I said, I don't need an appointment, I don't need to take up any time. The only thing that I need to do, I could speak to the Rosh Yeshiva when he walks from the room in which we slept, which he slept, which we jokingly referred to as the executive suite, when he would walk from that room down to the Beis Medrash, so I would be happy just to pose my question to him as he's walking down the stairs. So Rabbi Luban told me, he said, you need to make an appointment, it's not going to work. So I asked him, why not? He said, because you can't have a 2-minute conversation with the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Because you're going to go up to the Rosh Yeshiva, you're going to say Shalom Aleichem, and the Rosh Yeshiva is going to say to you, Shalom Aleichem, how's the wife and kids? How's your learning? How's your father? You know, how are things going? You know, what's with Parnasa? You know, how's the apartment? You can't have a 2-minute conversation with Rosh Yeshiva because he's got to get the whole story of everything that's happening in your life before you can ask him the question. So I said, forget about a 2-minute conversation. Better to make an appointment for 20 minutes. You'll have much more success. So the reason that the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was like that was because the Rosh Yeshiva understood that there is a principle. It's really an immutable principle, not a value, but a principle. And when you're dealing with principles, one does not break principles. You only break yourself against the principle. He understood that there was a principle that says that there is no such thing as a shortcut in a relationship. That when you're dealing with people, the longer way is always the shorter way. And that is principle one that I wanted to share with you. Principle number two is the notion that the word love is an active verb. Love is not something that happens to you. Love is something that one does. It's not a passive thing that occurs. Love is something that one does. I remember years ago, I run a school. Schools have kids in them, and kids, by and large, come with parents. And parents often come with problems in shalom bayis. And there was one such family that came to me, and the father came, and he told me that he had a particular shalom bayis problem. What was the problem? He said that he just wasn't in love with his wife anymore. So I listened to him tell me what the situation was, and my advice to him was, okay, I hear. I think what you should do is that you should go love her. So he told me, you probably didn't listen to what I had to say for the last 15 or 20 minutes, but I told you that I'm not in love with her anymore. I said, I heard you. And I'm telling you that what you should do is go love her, because love is an active verb and love is something that you do. So go love her. Nothing's stopping you. So he said, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, what were some of the things that you used to do for her when you were trying to convince her to marry you in the first place? So he says, oh, you mean like call for no reason? Or, you know, buy a present even though it's not her birthday. You know, those kind of things. I said, yeah, that would be a start. Love is an active verb. Love is something that you do. That's why the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says on the Pasuk, Atem ro'isim asher asisi l'mitzrayim, you saw what I did to the Mitzrayim. That the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says is talking about Yira. For Yira, you don't need a lot of words. You just need to remind somebody of something. So Hashem said, you saw what I did to the Mitzrayim. And then when it came time to teach Ahava, the Pasuk continues and says, Ve'ech shenosasi eschem al kanfei nesharim ve'hevesi eschem elai. And how I lifted you up on the wings of eagles and I brought you to me. So the Or HaChaim says, how come all the poetry? When it came to Yira, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim. End of story. Now we're talking about Ahava, he says. So how does Hashem express the Ahava? How I lifted you up on the wings of eagles and I brought you unto me. So the Or HaChaim says, when it comes to love, love needs words. And not only does love need words, love needs actions. You need to do loving things. That's principle number two. Principle number three is the notion that you cannot talk your way out of a problem that you have behaved your way into. You can't talk your way out of a problem which is a result of your behavior. I'll give you an example. I have a few, but I'll just give you one. Many years ago, there was a particular Rebbe that came to apply for a position in our yeshiva. And I asked him why it was that he was leaving his previous position. And to make a long story short, what it came down to at the end was that he was leaving his previous position because he felt that his previous menahel was an idiot. So I did not hire him. Because even though I could have had myself believe, well, the previous menahel was an idiot, and I'm not, I realized that you cannot talk your way out of a problem that you behaved your way into, and this person is allergic to supervision, and I have quite enough problems already. So even though I might like to believe, and he would tell me that I'm different than the other guy, he behaved in a certain way, and I just can't have, you know, it's very, very hard to talk your way out of a problem that you have behaved your way into. So therefore, there is a concept which, you know, I base on these three principles, and others based on other principles, which is the idea that one can look at a relationship with another person as a type of bank account. Now, I don't know how your bank account works, but mine works like this, that even though I have a whole bunch of checks, if I keep writing them but I don't make deposits into that account, for some reason the bank is not happy with me. Now, maybe your bank is different. And in Israel, I know it's a little bit different. You just keep writing checks and you go into minus. You just go, you get overdrawn a few, you know, many thousands of dollars. And that seems to be the minhag ha'makom. That's the custom of the place and people live with it. But here in America, the banks don't like it so much when you keep writing checks and you haven't made any deposits. So it happens to be that that's the same way with people. That since there's no such thing as a shortcut in a relationship, and since love is an active verb, and since you can't talk your way out of problems that you behave your way into, you have to behave your way out of them. So therefore, we have to realize that if we want to have long-standing and good relationships with other people, then we have an obligation to do a lot of loving actions and to make a lot of deposits into their account. We have to build them up and let them know we care and constantly give. And then, if there comes a time that we have to say a critical word or engage in something that the person might not find too pleasant or understand, that type of criticism and negativity, even though it might be for their benefit, is considered a withdrawal. And as a result of that, if we have not built up our relationship with many, many deposits, and the gauge is roughly 10 to 1, both in quantity and quality, then we can count on the fact that despite our best intentions, that relationship is going to be overdrawn, and we will not be able to succeed in what it is that we wanted to accomplish. And the relationship, which might have taken a very, very long time to build, can get overdrawn very quickly, and it's very hard then to rebuild the capital in the account to reestablish the relationship. Now, at this point, I feel that I do need to mention, because I forgot to at the beginning, that yesterday I decided to change the topic of this talk. So if you were counting on hearing what it said, what was posted, I think I'll just tell Rabbi Somers in the future that if he's going to ask for a title weeks in advance, I have to put an asterisk, which would say subject to change without notice. But sometimes, actually all the time for me, you really have to kind of feel the day and feel what's happening in the room before you can decide what it is that you want to talk about. And as the day approached, even though the topic of building your eternity one day at a time is an important one, I really felt that there was something else that I wanted to talk about. So I'm exercising rabbinic license in changing the topic, and I hope that that will be okay. This notion that relationships are a bank account and you can overdraw those bank accounts relatively quickly is something which I believe is very nogeya to Tisha B'Av, especially the source of Tisha B'Av. And it's something which I feel as well is very important to keep in mind today, within this next year, and within the next few years. Because it means that we have to figure out what are some deposits that we can make and what truly is helpful and to keep making probably the most significant deposit that we can make into the account of another person, which might not come with them knowing about it, but it can have an effect on them anyway. And that's the necessity of those people who we have a relationship with, and especially those people that our relationship is one in which we have an obligation towards them, that we remember that the most effective and important thing that we can do to help in that relationship is to daven for them. And we'll start with the person who perhaps can teach us this lesson the best. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. We read on the sheets that I gave you, side one of the page is the one that begins with Devarim Perek Aleph. In recounting the events of the Meraglim, which is where Tisha B'Av begins, in the event of the spies of the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu, in last week's Parsha, retells those events, and he gives us a certain insight into what was happening behind the scenes that was not revealed in Parsha Shlach Lecha. And there the pasuk says, "Vatiragnu ba'aleichem." According to Rashi, "Vatiragnu" means that they spoke lashon hora. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You, the Jewish people, spoke lashon hora in your tents." "Vasaimru," and you said, "Besinas Hashem oisonu hotzionu mi'eretz Mitzrayim." It is because Hashem hates us. It's in the hatred that Hashem has for us that He took us out of the land of Egypt. Lo seisosonu biyad ha'emori, to place us into the hands of the emori lahashmideinu, in order to ultimately destroy us. The first of the terrible events that took place on Tisha B'Av, and the one for which there was a kaviyah of a bechiyah ledoros, a crying for generations, which is our day today, Tisha B'Av, the root of the problem of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, is that the people said that God hates me. And I think that if we are honest with ourselves, that we will recognize that from time to time we feel that way. That although we are basically surrounded with a feeling of the goodness of life and the loving kindness of God, and that's what the Torah came to teach the world, was that we have a God that loves us, still, there are things that happen in our life where we get the feeling that the reason God made me is to torture me. And things have not gone right in the way I want them to in a very long time. And we walk around with complaints, like people used to do. If you'll remember, when the supermarkets were on strike, we are carrying signs that says, "God is unfair. Shame on you, God." And we feel, "God hates my guts. He has it in for me." Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael said, "Besinas Hashem osanu," He hates me. Now Rashi says on this pasuk that really God loved them. And the reason that they felt that God hated them was because they hated God. It was projection, called in psychology. But be that as it may, the Klal Yisrael had a feeling when they heard that the description of Eretz Yisrael by the Meraglim, they said, "We see now what God is up to." Rashi says that it's like a king who has two sons. To the son he loves, he gives the land. He has two fields. He'll give the land which is watered, irrigated naturally by the river. To the son he doesn't love, he's going to give a land that's dependent on rain. So you know why God took us out of Mitzrayim? Because He loves the Mitzrayim. And the reason He took us out was to get us Jews off the backs of the Mitzrayim. It's because He loves them and He hates us. That's how Tisha B'Av began. And the Klal Yisrael had within themselves this feeling, God hates me. And unfortunately, they found in the lack of a deposit by Moshe Rabbeinu, they found justification for that feeling. Because when it comes to depositing, we often make a mistake and think that those people who we are closest to, that those are the people who need the least deposits. But it's really not true. Because if you're close to someone and you're not actively depositing all the time, then the fact that you're not depositing is a withdrawal. Because if he sees me all the time and he knows me all the time, so, and he's constantly involved with me, why isn't he saying anything? Why isn't he doing anything? The fact that you're not doing something positive is a negative. I discovered this myself one time in the school when I would do visitations. And I would go around, and I would go into a room, you know, look around a little bit, everything was fine, and I would leave. And I found out later on that one of the administrators told me, when you do that, you know what the teachers think? They think that what you saw was so terrible, you couldn't even say anything. Now, I thought it was fine. So I try to give a little nod, a smile, something, you know, if I think about it, sometimes I'll leave a little sticky note. But if you just go in and you don't say anything, so they think it was so terrible, it couldn't even comment. That's how bad it was. So if you're close to people and you're not making deposits, that itself is a withdrawal. It's not just a not deposit, it's a withdrawal. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you'll take a look at the Ramban, and this is a Ramban in Parshas Korach, you'll understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, with really not through any fault of his own, but he fed into this feeling that the Klal Yisrael had, that Hashem hated them. If we'll take it from this Ramban about four lines down, in the middle of the line, where right after it says Pasuk Yud Dalet. So the Ramban says the following. He says, "V'hinei Yisrael b'hiyosim b'midbar Sinai." All the time that the Klal Yisrael was in the Sinai desert at the beginning of the 40 years, lo iro lehem shum ro'o. There was nothing bad that happened to them. Nothing evil. Nothing bad happened. Ki gam b'devar ha'egel. Even if you're going to mention how about the egel of Zahav, that wasn't so positive. He says, "Ki gam b'devar ha'egel shahaya ached godol u'mefursam." That transgression was great and very well known. But there were only relatively very few people who perished as a result of that avera. And why was that the case? V'nitzlu b'tefiloso shel Moshe. They were saved through the tefila of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehisnafel aleihem arboim yom v'arboim laila. That he fell in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights in order to save them. So it was a big avera, but the negative consequences were minimal, and the reason that they were minimal was because of the tefila of Moshe. V'hinei hayu ohavim oso k'nafshom. At that point, the Klal Yisrael loved Moshe like they loved themselves. V'sha'oimim elov, and they listened to him. They were in trouble. He davened for them and saved them. Therefore, they loved him. And therefore, they listened to him. Rabbi Orlovich says that one of the differences between an adult and a child is that an adult will listen to what you have to say, and if he likes what you have to say, you know, then he'll form his opinion of you. A child is the opposite. A child will decide whether or not he likes you, and if he likes you, so then there's a possibility that he might listen to what it is that you have to say. An adult will listen to what you have to say, and then he'll figure out whether he likes you. A child will figure out whether he likes you. If he likes you, then there's a havamina that he might listen. So you see from this Ramban that even in those days, but it's not just kids. It's really adults too. You have to be sure that people like you. You can't care whether they like you, otherwise you'll pander to them. You just have to be sure they like you, otherwise they won't listen to you. But you can't care whether they like you. You just have to be sure they like you. Otherwise they won't listen. Because that was the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. He davened for them. He saved them. He with his tefillah. They loved him like they loved themselves. And show me malov. And therefore they listened to him. And therefore the Ramban says, V'ilu haya adam moired al Moshe b'zmanahu. If there was a person who would rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, after the Chet Ha'egel, haya ha'am soiklin oso. The nation would have stoned him to death. And therefore Korach, who had in his mind to make this rebellion, he put up with the Gedulas Aharon, with the raising up of Aaron, Vesivu Habichorim, and he put up with the fact that the right of the Avoda was taken away from the Bechorim, and he stood before the Malas Halavim, to the elevation of the Levium, Vekol Ma'asav Shel Moshe, and he took everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Because to touch Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, impossible. He saved their life through his tefillah. It's a big deposit. Avabavoam el Midbar Paran, but when the Klal Yisrael came to Midbar Paran, the Nisrafu be'esh tevaara, and they were consumed with a consuming fire. Umesu be'kivros hatayva rabim, and in kivros hatayva, when they needed meat, and their complaints that there were many who were destroyed. V'kasher chatu b'meraglim, and when they made the transgression of the spies, lo hispalel Moshe aleihem. We don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the Meraglim, we don't find that he davened for the Klal Yisrael, v'lo bit lo hagezeira mehem, and he did not succeed in annulling the decree against them that they all die in the Midbar. So he had davened for them and saved them after the Chet Ha'Egel. When it came time for the Meraglim, he's not davening. Now, if you'll just remember where you are right now and skip down to the next Ramban, we'll see why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he was, so to speak, at a loss for words. When he did call out to Hashem to see what he could accomplish, he said, Yigadil no koyach Hashem. That was his tefillah, that the strength of Hashem, which meant his midas harachamim, should become great. And the Ramban says, V'derech ha'em es tokir, Mipnei shahashem b'makom hazeh kosul ba'alef dalet. The Shem Hashem, which is used in the tefillah that Moshe did make, is the name of Adnus. Vayomar shehiyeh ha'gedula b'koach harachamim, which means that the gedula that he was mentioning should be with the force of Hashem's mercy. Kimidas hadin hi shematucha kenegdom, because the midas hadin was stretched out against them. Vehiskir b'midas erech apayim v'rav chesed, and he mentioned in that tefillah of the shlosh esrei midos, he mentioned erech apayim v'rav chesed, patience and great loving kindness. V'lo hiskir emes, in the shlosh esrei midos it says the word emes, but not in this tefillah. Why? Ki b'midas ha'emes yihyu chayovim, because had he mentioned emes, Hashem says, Emes, you want to talk Emes? Emes, they deserve to be totally destroyed. V'lo hizkir notzer chesed le'alofim. Also, Moshe Rabbeinu did not mention that Hashem creates chesed for thousands of generations. Ki lo b'schus avos nispalel Moshe akshav, because Moshe, in this tefillah, at the time of the Meraglim, never mentions the avos. V'lo hizkir b'tefillah hazos le'avram Yitzchak u'Yaakov klal, he doesn't mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov at all, as he does in the Shlosh Esrei Midos. V'hatam, and the reason is, ba'avur sheha'oretz nitno le'avos, because the land was given to the avos. U'mihem yorshuho, and it's from the avos that the children would inherit it. V'heim, and the klal Yisrael, mordim ba'avosam, they were rebelling against the avos. And they didn't want their present, asher ha'avos hayu boichrim b'me'od, that the avos chose greatly. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu mention the avos? They're rebelling against the gift of Eretz Yisrael, which was the great desire of the avos, and now the Klal Yisrael is saying, we don't want it. So forget the avos, can't mention them. Ve'eich yomar asher nishbato lehem boch, v'chol ha'oretz azos asher eten lezarachem. Can't mention that either. V'heim omrim i'efshi b'matanazu. How can you mention Eretz Yisrael and that great gift of Eretz Yisrael when you just said that you don't want it? So you can't mention Emes, you can't mention the Avos, you can't mention Eretz Yisrael. V'lo hizkir chata'a, it doesn't mention the word chata'a, ba'avor she'elu meizidim u'posha'im. They weren't chotim, which means b'shogeg. They did it intentionally, and they did it as an act of rebellion. So you can't mention chata'a. And then the Ramban says, V'lo yadati lama lo hizkir rachum v'chanun. It seems like that they could have mentioned, Hashem's mercy and kindness. Ula yoda Moshe ki hadin matuach aleihem. Maybe it's because Moshe knew that this midas hadin was spread out against them. V'lo yimcho le'olam. And he knew that that would not be forgiven at all. V'lechein, therefore, lo bikesh rak arichas apayim. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for what he could, which was that Hashem be patient. Shalo yamisam ki ish echa, that he not kill them like one person, v'lo yishchatem but kitzom b'midbar, and that he not slaughter them like a flock in the desert, sheyamusu b'magefa, that they all perish in a plague. U'ba'avur shalo bikesh ato ela arichas hapayim, and since all that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for was patience and to give them time, Omar lo, therefore Hashem said to him, Salachti kidvarecho, I will forgive them according to your words. Shehielahem erechapayim v'rav chesed, I'll give them patience and kindness. V'hizkir poked avon avos, that Hashem will requite the iniquity of the fathers, lemor, to say, she'im yira shelo limchos avonom, if he sees that they're not going to protest and not stop their sinning, yivkot avon ha'avos al b'nehem, that Hashem would take out the iniquity of the fathers on the children, ul'arech apayim yekachem, and that over time he would take them. U'mizeh ha'isa ha'gezeiro l'gvo lehem b'chil l'doros, and therefore the decree became a crying for generations, b'layla hazeh, ki pakad avonam azaram, because till this day we are still suffering from the mistake of the meraglim. And the fact that we're still around is only because of Hashem's Erech HaPayim and the Tefillah of Moshe. So if we go back now to the Ramban, we see that the Klal Yisrael felt that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven for them the way he davened for them after the Chet HaEgel. And we see from the second Ramban that Moshe Rabbeinu did whatever he could. He used every word in the vocabulary that wouldn't be a lie to be able to get Hashem's mercy to pour out upon them. But that's not the way the Klal Yisrael took it. They saw that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven the way he once did, and he was not able to be mevatel the gezeira. Umesu nesi'ei kol hashvatim b'megefa lifnei Hashem, and all of the heads of the tribes of the shvatim died in a plague. V'nigzar al kol ha'am sheyutamu b'midbar v'sham yomusu, that they would be finished off in the desert and there they would die. V'az ha'ison nefesh kol ha'am moro, and then the soul of the entire Jewish people became depressed. V'hayu omrim b'libam, and they said in their hearts, ki yavoyu lehem b'divrei Moshe tekolos. You know what we get from listening to Moshe Rabbeinu? You know what we get from him? Tzoros. You know what you get from listening to Moshe Rabbeinu? Problems. That's what you get from him. He didn't daven for us. He didn't annul the gezeirah. The heads of the tribes have all died. There's a megefa. We're all going to die in this desert. Ve'oz, and then motzo Korach mokom lachloik al mazov. That's when Korach said, now's the time that I can bring up my machlokas. V'choshav ki yishma'u elav ha'am. And now he felt that the people would listen to him, because they were depressed, they were down, and they felt that their Rebbe didn't love them. V'zeh ta'am l'hamisenu b'midbar. And this is why the Pasuk says, to kill us in this desert. Amru, they said, hine hevesa osanu el hamokom hazeh, you brought us to this place. V'lo kiyamta banu mashin nidarta, and you didn't fulfill your promise. L'seislanu eretz zavas chalav u'davash, to give us this land floating with milk and honey. Kilo nasata lanu nachal o'klal, you didn't give us any inheritance at all. Aval nomus b'midbar, we're going to die in the desert. V'nihiyah kolim sham, and that's where we're going to be finished off. Ki gam zareinu lo yetzu umin ha'midbar le'olam. Don't tell us that our children are going to get out, because v'yivatu min habonim, you'll take away from the children mashe nedarta lahem. You didn't keep your promise to us, you're not going to keep your promise to our children either. Kashen is batal min ha'avos. You took it away from us, you'll take it away from our children too. Tough job being with Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the Klal Yisrael tell him? What have you done for us lately? And not only that, because you did so much for us at the Egel, that's our level of expectation. Yeah, that's the baseline of our expectations of what we think we're going to get from our leader. And here, at the time of the Meraglim, you don't daven for us like you should. You're missing some words from your tefillah. You weren't able to annul the decree. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's fault. He said whatever he could. But if people are close to you, even if you're trying to do the best you can, but you're not davening for them, and you're not depositing to them, and you're not encouraging them, and you're not building them, so then it causes people to feel that the person who they trust as their leader it makes them feel he doesn't love me. And when the Klal Yisrael, who already felt Besinas Hashem Oisonu, it's because God hates us, that's why he took us out of Mitzrayim, when they then saw, in that kind of feeling that they had, they then perceived that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't love them either, it's a proof, because where does Moshe Rabbeinu get his ideas of how to treat us? Who's closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam than Moshe Rabbeinu? If Moshe hates us, then it's for sure that Hashem hates us. And where did that feeling come from? It came from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven for them the way he should have, or the way that they felt he should have. He did a lot for them. But he stopped giving them what they needed. He stopped having that feeling that I am going to take on God for your cause. And therefore the people fell into a depression. And the consequences of their action, had it not been that Hashem saved them from Korach, who knows what would have been. That's what happens when a person who is perceived by others as being in a position of trust, that's the way it's perceived by the other people, when that trust person lets them down. In particular, it's the feeling that one has when he feels that that person of trust isn't davening for him, isn't pulling for him. Chazal tell us that one of those leadership positions is the leadership position of being a teacher. And Chazal tell us a Gemara in Tainus that says that if you see, it's a machlokus, it's really not a machlokus, it's really two sides of a coin. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish said, Im ro'isa talmid shelimudo kasha lov kabarzel. If you see that you have a student whose learning for him is as difficult as iron, that his head just, nothing gets in. So according to Reish Lakish, the reason is, bishvil mishnoso she'ena sedura alov. It's because the learning that's being presented to him is not being done in an orderly fashion. The Mishnah, the learning, was not presented in an orderly way so that he can understand it. Matakante, so how do you fix that? The Gemara says, Yarba Yeshiva. So you have to send them back to Yeshiva, and Rashi explains, you send them back to Yeshiva, and hopefully he'll have a Rebbe who then can start over again and teach him what he needs to know in the orderly fashion that he will be able to understand. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. Rava Amar, Rava says, Im ro'isa talmid shelimudo kasha lav kabarzel, same student, if you see a student whose learning is as hard as iron, different reason, it says. It's bishvil rabo she'eno masbir lo ponim. The reason that the child is not learning is because his Rebbe didn't smile at him. He didn't feel that his Rebbe loved him. He doesn't feel that his Rebbe's davening for him. Shenemar vahu lo ponim kilkeo, because there was no ponim, there was no hasbaras ponim. There wasn't a smiling, warm countenance on the part of his teacher, so therefore there was kilkul, there was destruction. Maitakonte, so what's the remedy for a Rebbe that doesn't smile at his child, at his student? Answers the Gemara, Yarbe alov reim. You have to find friends for the child. Find friends for the students. If you'll turn over the page, you'll see how Rashi explains. Yarbel of Reim, find friends for him. Lefayes Himenu, find people who will talk to the Rebbe and tell him what a great kid he is. Sheyizber lo ponim, so then he'll smile at him. Find ways of having people go to the Rebbe and convince the Rebbe that he's really a good kid. Help him understand the kid's challenges. Help him overlook the negative side. Help the Rebbe to be encouraging and positive and to believe in him. And I might say that one of the greatest friends that a child can have can be him, the child himself. It might be worthwhile for the parents to work on the kid and teach the kid not to be so obnoxious. Teach him how to win friends and influence people. Teach him how to get your Rebbe, to win over your Rebbe to your side. Here's how you can get your Rebbe to like you. That's a valuable life skill. To get people who are in control of your life to like you. That's a very helpful thing to know if you're ever going to have a job, if you're ever going to be married. So there's people who have what to say in your life. It's very good to figure out how to get them to like you and how to avoid being annoying to them. That's all helpful. But the key to this Gemara is that you see the effect that can happen when a person feels that the leader over him, his teacher, doesn't love him. If his Rebbe doesn't smile at him, he can't learn. And one of the great educators in Eretz Yisrael today says that these two opinions of Reish Lakish and Rava, the first is dependent on the second. He said if the Rebbe really loved him, if the Rebbe smiled at him, if the Rebbe really cared about him, he would find a way to make the Mishnah Sedura a love. He'd find a way to teach him. The reason that his Mishnah so ain't a Sedura a love, the reason that he's teaching him in a way that doesn't work for the kids is because he doesn't love him. If he loved him, he'd figure him out. He would care enough to know how to teach him. That's just practical. But on a more emotional plane, if the child doesn't feel that his parents and teachers love him, can't learn. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a tough job. He had to care for the Klal Yisrael, he had to do for the Klal Yisrael, he had to make those constant deposits for the Klal Yisrael. If one time he doesn't make the deposit the way he's supposed to, so whereas before they would have been sokel, they would have stoned anybody who spoke against him, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Od ma'adu skaluni, and a little bit more and they're going to stone me. Because he hasn't done for them lately. But that's the way people are. When you realize that that's the way people are, so you don't get so upset over it when they behave that way towards you. After all I've done for them, this is the way they react. Like the Chasam Sofer once said to about a particular reform, person in the reform movement who he opposed greatly and who hated the Chasam Sofer tremendously. The Chasam Sofer wrote to his son, he said, I don't know why he hates me so much. I never did anything for him. No good deed goes unpunished, they say in America. When you know that either you keep depositing or as people see it as a withdrawal, so you just know that's the reality. So keep giving. Keep being encouraging. Even if they are a little bit difficult and obnoxious and let you down and are unfair. Is that person any more difficult than the Klal Yisrael was to Moshe Rabbeinu? And now look how Moshe Rabbeinu spent the last minute or the last couple minutes of his life. The Medrash, it's a Medrash, it seems like it should be in Zosa Baruch, but it's really in Parshas Ve'eschonan, this coming week's Parsha. The Medrash says that the Malachim came to take Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life. Ba'u va'omru l'Moshe, so they came and they said to Moshe, Higia sha'a sha'ata niftar min ha'olam. The hour has come for you to depart from the world. Amar lehem, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim, Himtinuli, wait for me. Acha evarech es Yisrael. He said, wait for me for a moment until I give the Klal Yisrael a bracha. Shalom matzu mimeni koras ruach ba'olam. Because they found no comfort, they got no pleasure from me. Mipnei tochochos va'azhoros shehayisi mochicha. Because of all the warnings and rebuke that I had to give them. I had to educate them. I had to make them change. All Sefer Devarim is divrei tochocha. I had to be mochicha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, they got no pleasure from me. He says, I wanted to give them brachas, but they didn't let me. Ba'u va'omru lo. So the Malachim came. He began to give a bracha to each and every tribe. Bifnei atzmoiv, kiven shiro'o sheniksero hasho'o. But when he saw that the time was coming close, amad ubarchon kulam bebracha achas. Then he gave the entire Klal Yisrael one bracha. Ba'u va'omru lo. Then the Malachim came back and they said to him, Higia chetzi sha'a sha'ata nifter min ha'olam. Now you have 30 minutes left. Amar lehem liYisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Klal Yisrael, Harbe tsa'arti eschem al ha-Torah ve'al ha-Mitzvos. I caused you so much pain to get you to keep the Torah and the Mitzvos. Va'akshav mocholuli. machluli. So he said, please forgive me. I had to give you tochacha. I gave you a hard time. I'm asking you before I die, please forgive me. Amrulay, they said to him, Adonenu, Rabbeinu, Machulacha, we forgive you. Va'af Yisrael amdu lefonov, even the Klal Yisrael stood in front of him. Amrulo, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Harbei hikasnucho, we angered you greatly. Ve'hirbeinu elecha toiroch, and we were a burden to you. We were a great tircha to you, our entire existence. Mochul lanu, forgive us. Amar lehem. So he said to them, it's forgiven to you. So they came to him and they said, now we're down to the last minute. So Moshe Rabbeinu began and said, Baruch Shmo Chai V'Kayom Le'olam Voed. Amar Lehem L'Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's last words. B'vakasha mikem. K'shetikansu li'oritz. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, zichru osi, remember me. V'esatz moisai, and my bones. V'omru, and they said, chaslo l'ben Amram, poor ben Amram, sheratz l'faneinu kasus. He ran in front of us like a horse. He served us. V'naflu atzmoisav b'midbar. Now his bones have fallen in the desert. At the end, they appreciated him. Ba'uva omrulo. Now they came to him and said, Higia chetzi rega. It's the last 30 seconds. What did he do? Natal shnei zeroisav. He took his two forearms. V'hinicham alibay. And he placed them over his heart. These are the arms of Moshe Rabbeinu, the arms that took the Luchos, the arms that were held up high during the war with Amalek, the arms that split the Yam, the arms that brought the Malchus. He took those arms and he placed them over his heart, because it seems that his arms were not able to perform those deeds anymore, but what was left was the unity between what was in his heart that had been expressed through those arms. Va'amar Yisrael, and he said to the Klal Yisrael, Ru'u acharisoi shel basar v'dam. Take a close look at the end of flesh and blood. Anu va'amru, the Klal Yisrael said, Yodayim shekiblu es ha-Torah mipi ha-gavura yiflu v'kever. Those arms that received the Torah now lie in the grave. Ba'oso rega yotza nishmaso b'neshika. Shenemar v'yoma shom Moshe Eved Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a job to do. He had to give the Klal Yisrael tochacha. What did he want to do? He wanted to give them bracha. He wanted Parsha Zos HaBracha to be the entire Sefer Devarim. But the Klal Yisrael wouldn't let him. But at the end of his life, he knew that if he doesn't make that final deposit of giving them that bracha and apologize for the way he had to go about doing things, he was a leader. He couldn't be a pushover. He had to take a stand. There had to be standards. He had to give them tochacha, but it comes at a price. So he let them know at the end of his life that the final thing that he wanted to do was to bless them, to ask mechila for the tzar that he caused them, and to daven for them and to bless them as he always wanted to. we face difficulties in life. We face challenges, and there's many things, times we have to put our heads and our mind together to figure out how we're going to solve problems, what are we going to do, and certainly we have an obligation to do that. But as we see from the case of the Meraglim, we see from the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and we see of the case of a Rebbe, that what we can always do with our other things that we're trying to figure out about how we're going to solve the problem through our intellect and through our ideas, is that we need to bless people, we need to encourage people, we need to daven for people. I saw just a couple of weeks ago on Parshas Masai, there was a Devar Torah that comes out that's taken from the writings of Rav Ovadia, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And they wrote there that Rav Ovadia stated that he is certain that if he achieved anything in the area of the Torah, it is in the merit of the constant prayers of his mother. He knows that she would pray for him as much as 10 times in one day. There is no limit to the amount of prayers that we can offer on behalf of our children. We can't say we've prayed enough. Moreover, there is no set nusach given to us by Chazal for such a tefillah. It's true the Chazon Ish wrote one, but that's just a sample. And it is up to each parent to come up with a personal prayer and pray from the depths of his or her heart. The tefillos can and should be adjusted to each particular situation or challenge that the child might be facing. How do you get a Rav Volbe? A mother's tefillos 10 times a day. Rav Volbe continued that davening for the success of one's children is so vital that it might very well be the main and most important aspect in educating children. True, the children were placed in our care, but it would be a grave mistake to think that their chinuch is entirely in our hands. The same holds true for anyone who is in the position to influence others. The very best way to influence them positively and safeguard them from harm is by offering heartfelt tefillos on their behalf. We might be at a loss to what to do, but there's something that we always can do. And if we're in a position of trust with other people's lives, as all of us are in one way or another, then we can daven. And it seems from Moshe Rabbeinu that if people know that we care about them and we're davening for them, then they can put up with a lot of the difficulties that they might be facing, and they won't have so many problems with us. Now let me just say that that doesn't mean that if you're davening for someone, they should go up and necessarily tell them that you are. I talked to more than one young woman who, I don't know, has reached the age of mid-20s and is not married. And they have people come and say, don't worry, I'm davening for you every day. So sometimes when you feel that someone's davening, I'm a nebuch, you know, because I'm 25 and not married, you know, that I need you to feel it. So one has to be careful to do it, but not necessarily do it in a way that you make a person feel that they're some oni, you know, some nebuchal person who can't, you know, who needs rachamim in order to be able to survive. But certainly in our hearts, and for those people who know that we should be davening for them, like our students and our children and the people in our families. So it's important for them to know and to see that we care and we daven for them. And there's a video that Eish HaTorah put out that they're recommending people view over Tisha B'Av. I saw it late last night after keynotes. I think it is worthwhile seeing. And then Reb Noach Weinberg says that he was 1950s, he felt something needed to be done about assimilation in America, and he took a trip to Eretz Israel to ask the question to the Chazon Ish about what he should do. But right after he reached Eretz Israel, I think he got there like on a Sunday, and the Chazon Ish had passed away a few days before, so he never got to ask the question. But maybe, if we take a look at this letter from the Chazon Ish, maybe we can see an interesting siyata d'shmaya in the way things turned out, because we might be able to glean an idea of what the Chazon Ish might have said. If you'll take the second paragraph there, this is in the third chelik of the Kovetz Igros HaChazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, "Kemo b'kinyan hakesef v'harachush," just like it's in material possessions, "Ein ha-hishtadlus rach piron chov." Human effort is only paying back a debt. It's something you have to do. It's a technicality. In making a living, it's true. You have to go to work. But that's just a piron chov. It's a technicality. And it's forbidden for a person to think that it's his strength or the power of his mind and hands that has created his wealth. That's true in material possessions. Everybody knows it. The Chazon Ish says, though, it goes further than that. He says, "Kein ha-hishtavlus hatzolus nefesh rak mitzvah." Even when it comes to saving a human life, hishtadlus is also just a mitzvah. Aval tzorich lizkor, one must always remember, she'ein b'kochenu la'asos me'uma. We do not have within our hands the ability to do anything. Rach b'ma'aseinu onu me'oririm sha'ari rachamim. It's just that when we take an action, then we cause an awakening in the gates of mercy. Shema'ase yodeinu yichonenu es ha'mevukash. That we can then hope that the actions of our hands will achieve their objective. It's not our actions which are doing anything. It's just that by acting, we cause rachamim to be awakened in heaven, and then Hashem takes care of the issue. And he continues and says, Umishim es palel umarbe tachanunim al ha'atzolo, a person who davens and increases his supplications for salvation, hu po'el yoiser meha mishtadel. He does more than the person who puts forth human effort. Ach, but, hadavar tzorik shikul. You have to do it in a thoughtful manner. Shebemokom dehahatzolo peshuta b'maisa. That when you could save a person with a simple action, harehu over alo samad adam reecho. If you didn't do that, then you're guilty of standing by your brother's blood. Umisha roe adam toveya benahar. A person sees someone drowning in a river, v'yochol lahatzilo, and he could save him easily. Ve'eino matzil, and he doesn't save him. Va'omed, and instead of saving him, omedu mispalel shenitzal, he davens that he be saved. Hareza shofech domim, he's a murderer. If you can save him easily, then go ahead and do something. Aval im ein biyodu lahatzil, if the situation is much more complicated and it's really not in your hands to cause an immediate salvation, ve'eino mispalel al hatzoloso, and you don't daven for the person, hareze moneya milahatzil, then you're preventing him from being saved. Ach sheyase hishtavus lahatzola, even if you're making other efforts. So if you see someone, for example, who's off the derech, and it's not really in your hands to be able to bring him back, but you're making some efforts in terms of bringing him back, but you're not davening for him to be brought back at the same time, so then the Chazon Ish says the fact that you're not davening is making it more difficult for him to be saved. Even though you're making other human physical efforts. By not davening, it's making it more difficult. And he continues a couple lines down and says, Ukfar Amru Chazal, and Chazal stated, Gedoylo Talmud Torah Yoser Mihatzolos Nefashos, that the study of Torah is greater than the saving of souls. That we learn from Mordechai, because at the end of the story of the Megillah, he went out l'roiv echov. He was accepted back by the majority of people, but not by everybody, because he had lost some of his learning due to the fact that he was involved in saving the Klal Yisrael. So he lost something. He wasn't accepted back so readily into the Sanhedrin. And they also said, v'umole David osek b'Torah, were it not that David was learning Torah, ein Yoav ala tzavah, Yoav being a mighty general would have no effect. The success of the Klal Yisrael in war was because of David's tefillah, not because of the military genius of a Yoav. And then concludes and says the following. K'shem she'ivrei ha'adam, just like the limbs of a person, mishalking l'pu'loseihem, they have different jobs to do. Ayin roe, there's an eye that sees, va'ozen shamas, and an ear that hears, v'yadayim askanios, and hands which are involved in doing things. Kain ha'am kulo hu kuguf echad. The Jewish nation is like one body. V'ishim nefradim bo, but has different individuals within that one body. V'kol ish tzarich lo mole tu udoso, and each person has to do his job. V'im hayu b'nei Torah, amelim b'Torah lamitoso. If the b'nei Torah were learning Torah in a true way, to the truth of the Torah, Hayu matzilin yolodim harbe ve'anoshim rabim, they would succeed in saving many children and many people. What would they be saved from? Mihuhure Aveira, from thoughts of Aveira, Ukafira, and denying God's existence, Ukiyotzibo. And how would they accomplish keeping people from Kafira with their Torah? The answer is Beshefa Kodshom, through the influence of their Kedusha that comes from their learning Torah. Behishtapech Ruach Tahara Ba'olam. Because when a person learns properly, he pours forth, he spills forth a spirit of purity in the world. Ubisavivos Baal Torah Amiti, and in the environs of a true Baal Torah, Hadavar Nikar Le'einenu, it's recognizable in our eyes, you can see it. Hashefa Maruba Alanoshim Harbe, how being in the presence of that Golul B'Torah has an influence on many people. People here saw the Rosh Yeshiva. You know that when you were in his surroundings, you're a different person. And that effect is greater ma shekol hishtadlus ma'asis lo tasigeno. You can do more with that tefillah and with that learning than anything that can be accomplished through human involvement. U'kamokein, and similarly, yesh rishomim al harachokim. You can also bring back rechokim in a way she'ein hayayin roa. The eye can't see how this has this effect. Miragshus bom ledakusam. But they can be. We don't sense them. We don't see them because they're very adin. They're very fine and dark. The influence of how this works when a person learns that it brings someone back. The Chazon Ish says it does. We can't see it because it's very fine, the way the influence happens. But it's not just the people who are within the Dalet Amos of the Golul B'Torah. But when a person learns, he sends forth arrows of Kedusha and ropes of Kedusha that bring people back in, even from far off places. Powerful Chazon Ish. A person has to be Mishtadil, that's a Piron Hov, but the Iker is Tefillah. You want to accomplish something, it's Tefillah. It's Tefillah and Tefillah and Tefillah. It's tefillah and it's ha'oras panim. Yair Hashem panav eilecho vichuneko. When you feel that Hashem's face is shining on you, vichuneko, then you can feel his chin, and he can bestow goodness upon you. Ha'oras panim, smile at people. Be encouraging of people. Ki ba'or panecho nasato lonu toras chayim ve'avas chesed utzdoko uvrocho v'rachamim v'chayim v'sholem. That's an impressive list. Shine your face on someone. Daven for them. The Chazon Ish says it's the key. I mentioned that I wanted to speak about this particular inyan because we're entering a tekufa in America in which we're going to believe that a certain politician who wins is going to have this effect, and a certain politician who loses, it could have that effect, and there's going to be elections in Israel, and it's going to have this effect, and there's somebody who's the head of Iran, that it's going to have this effect. After 9/11, the night of 9/11 in Eretz, it happened here in the morning, it was nighttime in Eretz Israel, so Rav Volbe gave a vad. He said, we hear that something happened, 10 hours later there. He said, we hear that something happened in America, we don't know all the facts. They will take care of what they need to take care of. We must take care of what we need to take care of, Torah and Musar. There's really a limit to how much is going to be accomplished with the hishtadlus about all the political goings-on, even though it is interesting and fascinating. But if we really want to have an effect, the Chazon Ish said, with all the efforts that you make, if you don't daven too, then the lack of tefillah causes the hatzalah to be more difficult. Got to daven. We see it in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. People felt not only that he didn't like them, but that God didn't like them. If kids think that their parents don't love them, then they learn about God from their parents. They learn about God from their teachers. If they think that their parents and teachers don't love them, then they get a very skewed picture of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hishtadlus, this plan, that plan, the other plan, why is it? You know, I was at a Kiru seminar a week ago, and somebody came and says, he has the answer why it is the kids are going off the derech. I said, you know what, my experience has been there's no rhyme or reason. You got all kinds of kids in all kinds of situations, all kinds of things. There's almost no two stories are the same. Rabbi Matasyahu said he had a reason. It's a gezeira. We read in last week's Haftorah, Borim gadalti v'romamti v'hem pashubi. Hashem says, I raised children and they rebelled against me. I raised kids, they went off the derech. He said that Hashem wants us to feel how that feels. He wants us to know how He feels when we are rebellious against Him. There's one thing everybody can do. All these other plans, you have to think about it. We have brains. God made us people we're worker men. We like to get jobs accomplished. But we have to know there's something that each and every one of us can do and each and every one of us must do, and that is that we need to daven. So those who can, daven. They say in the world, those who can do, those who can't teach. That's also not true. But those who can, don't just do, daven. That's the key. That's what Chazon Ish said. So hopefully those tefillos, that we will hopefully gain some sort of sense that we have to be mechazek in. And the tefillah that we do to Hashem and the sense of real encouragement that we give to the people around us, because people need chizuk. For the same money, you can say an encouraging word as a discouraging word. It doesn't cost you any more. Tefillah to Hashem and being encouraging of the people around you, especially when those people see themselves as dependent upon you. That, it seems to be, is the key from the Chazon Ish to our Hatzolah. And we hope that it will bring the day that this day will be a Yom Tov and being based on the Midrash Bimhera of Yomeinu.
Makar Tov to Rabbi Goldberg for those beautiful words of Divrei Chizuk. Hopefully they will go into everyone's psyche and resources of their heart, and everyone should be misbal for those close and far. And Mir Tashem, we will be zocha to have the Gula Shleima and Mir Tashem Bekarov. Next year, all the Rabbanim will be here for a very happy occasion. We'll have all day learning also then. First Mincha is at 1:30. Please, I encourage everyone to all the men to sign up for seed learning. The sign-up sheets are outside. Please, even though, like I said before, we can't learn today, but we should have that commitment towards learning. So, and again, also we have a morning program for high school age boys after the third minyan. Again, the first mincha is at 1:30.